And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground! All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Welcome to 2021. I know this year has started off with a little bit of a bump in the road. As you might have noticed, a bunch of right-wing fuckboys have invaded the U.S. Capitol and trashed it. And there is a ton of shit to unpack here. There's a ton of shit to go through. And that's what we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. We're going to be trying to get our heads around having an underground perspective that really gets at the heart of what's happening through all this. I know the mainstream media has been talking about this a little bit. Well, not a little bit. They've been talking about it endlessly for the last couple of weeks. But they've really been, I am a consumer of a ton of mainstream media. But to me, it feels like a lot of the mainstream media has been coming at this, talking about how this is an attack on democracy. These right-wing fuckboys and dumbasses and white supremacists and neo-Nazis took over the Capitol at Trump's behest while they were counting Biden's electoral votes. This was an attack on the legitimacy of U.S. elections, an attack on democracy. I don't know if I appreciate that enough, and I've thought about that and posted on in my social media and talked about it a little bit. And I think that there's a point to that, especially with like the demographic changes that have been happening in this country and the fact that these white supremacists who are leading the charge and led the charge into the Capitol and whom are being led by Trump. I think that because of the demographic changes, they do feel threatened and that they don't feel democracy will get them the world they want anymore. So they're willing to throw away this tool that we have in our tool belt to run a system or run a society. So maybe there is a reason to talk about this, but I don't think the mainstream media is getting all of it by simply talking about how this attack on democracy. I think that they're talking a little bit about demographic issues. They're talking a little bit about how there's a split in the Republican Party, but they're really focused on this. Like, I feel like they're focused on that minutia and they aren't getting the bigger picture about what's happening here. At least not totally. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of the mainstream media outlets that I think did go into some of that, but I don't think that they're appreciating the thrust of what's happening. And so that's why we're going to focus on it on the podcast today. I'm going to avoid the entire rest of the podcast. I'm going to try to avoid any discussion of Mad Max and how 2020 was our first Mad Max with the initiation of a dystopian future. And now 2021 is the reign of the Thunderdome because, you know, I think that this concept is pretty good. I feel like it'd be great if we could see some folks like making some fake movie trailers for the coming 2021 being the battles in the Thunderdome. Sadly, Tina Turner is not here to keep it moving along, and we are stuck in this fucking backward dystopian future that is our lives. And I think it might be a little bit callous to talk about that, but I do think that there's a lot of truth to that. And I do think that that idiot piece of shit, Rudy Giuliani, right before people stormed the Capitol, who was talking about the trial by combat, and then everybody goes to the Thunderdome, which I think we should just officially call the Capitol now, and takes it over. I do think that there is a point here, but I'm going to try to avoid any more Mad Max comparisons because maybe there is some limitations to that, although I do think the two-man-enter, one-man-leave idea for this polarizing ideological time we're in might be very true, but we're not going to talk about that anymore on the podcast. So to try and process our initial reaction to what happened at the Capitol productively and to avoid devolving into constant comparisons to dystopian films of the late 80s and early 90s, whether they're great movies or not, and we can debate that all day, but I feel like any movie Tina Turner has ever been in has been a great movie. Nonetheless, to avoid falling into that hole constantly throughout the episode, we have an incredible guest that we have on today. Jahal Winters of the band Winter Wolf is here to help try to rein in my maniac brain. He brings a very balanced, very thoughtful, unique perspective, and I'm so excited to hear more about what he has to say about what happened in the Capitol, his initial reactions. We're going to get neck deep into analyzing everything surrounding the Capitol riots, insurrection, I think is what Jahal would prefer to call it. But we're gonna talk about that a little bit more on the podcast in a second. We're going to talk about where this trajectory has been coming from, whether it started in 2016, where it's headed. We're going to talk about Antifa. We're going to be talking about whether or not it's right or good to be kicking all these right-wing pieces of shit off social media and back into the shadows. We're going to be talking about implications of democracy. We're going to be talking about how the mainstream media has and hasn't gotten it right and discussing what happened there. And on the second half of the podcast, we're going to be talking about what all of this means for us. So what, right? Like, so this happened. You can appreciate some of what the mainstream media has been doing in analyzing exactly what happened at the Capitol, or you can look at some of how we're processing all this and the perspective we're coming at things from the underground. I think a little bit more of an in-depth, heartfelt, social justice-oriented perspective that we're sharing here in this podcast. But however you want to look at it, so what the fuck does this all matter for our daily lives? Like, this shit is happening. What are we supposed to do about it? And how are we supposed to fit this into our fight for justice? These right-wing pieces of shit are out there. Are we supposed to see them just as we see the police, in conjunction with it, in opposition to it, tangentially related to it? How are we supposed to deal with this new threat, this new terror threat, if you will, from the extreme right wing militarizing themselves or mobilizing themselves? If you're afraid to use the word militarize, fine, I understand that. But mobilizing themselves with physical force and violence. Some of this isn't new also. We're going to be talking about that as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you to Jahal Winter for coming on and doing this podcast with us today. I think he's an incredible band. He's an amazing performer for folks in New York City who haven't had a chance to see Winter Wolf. I'm sure shows are going to be back in the very near future, and you have to go see Jahal. I've had the pleasure of playing with him a few times, and I think he's fantastic. And I think everyone should make sure they go out and see them very soon. I know that Winter Wolf is putting out some new music in the relatively near future. They've been working on something during the pandemic. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I haven't had a chance to listen to yet. I still think that they're putting the final touches on those recordings. We will, by the end of the episode, be talking more about how you can get in touch with and listen to music by Winter Wolf, and we're going to play some tunes from them as well. So stay tuned for all that. I do want to say, like, in expressing my gratitude to Jahal for coming on the podcast, which I really appreciated he was willing to do. You know, I hate recording podcasts remotely. I think it's awful. I really like to be face-to-face with the person I'm talking to. I think that it brings some more excitement. I think it brings some more sincerity, and I think it allows for a more honest, sincere discussion. I just think it's really hard to do that remotely. So I have been recording almost all the podcasts I've ever done on Dispatch from the Underground have been in person, and I've continued to do that through the pandemic and trying to do that the safest way possible. We have been recording all of the podcasts during the pandemic that have been done with other people, socially distanced, right? 6 feet apart as much as possible. And because they say COVID is more easily transmitted inside when people are in an enclosed space, we've been doing them all outside. So we recorded this podcast outside, 6 feet away from each other. However, we had some unintentional guests on this podcast as well, because we recorded it in a place where there were multiple chickens. Now, the chickens have been featured on other podcasts, but for whatever reason, maybe they didn't really appreciate what we were talking about. Well, for whatever reason, the chickens were way more vocal on this podcast than they have been in other podcasts. So if you hear some unintentional chicken sounds, or what you think is just us being terrorized by chickens, don't worry. It is just us being terrorized by chickens. They were getting in our face a lot. They attacked Jahal many times, and they attacked me a few times, and I left most of that in, even though I probably should have cut all it out. I just think it's kind of funny. So there's some chicken sounds. There's some squawks at us. I was constantly throwing little pieces of tortilla away from us to try to keep the chickens away from us as much as possible. But sadly, they made their way to Jahal sometimes. So I apologized publicly, as I did privately, to Jahal. And I appreciate that he was willing to make this trip out here. And sadly, get attacked by chickens. Anyway, I also want to say there are some things that we didn't talk about on this podcast, some things that we didn't get into about what happened at the Capitol. We didn't talk about every facet that I wish we could have, and maybe we could do this more in another discussion. We talked a little bit about police tactics. We didn't talk about them because I feel like the police tactics that were on display, or lack of tactics, or what we can learn about from the police response at the Capitol would have taken an entire episode, and I didn't want us to get hung up on it. We talk about it a little bit, and I just want to be clear. I don't think any leftists out there wanted these fucking piece of shit right-wing rioters to be treated like all of us were treated at the Black Lives Matter protests. I don't think that they wanted them to get tear gassed and beaten and choked and brutalized or shot at. I don't think that that's true. I think that a lot of people just wished the way they were treated is how we were treated. Right, I think that a lot of people just wished that we weren't beaten, like these fucking people weren't beaten. But maybe that's a little bit convoluted. Maybe that's a little bit confusing what I just said. But I just think there's a lot to be said and a lot to be learned by how the police treated, or rather how they didn't treat, these right-wing protesters who stormed the U.S. Capitol. And I think mainly we have to learn from that is that the police do not view right-wing extremists as threats, but they do view left-wing social justice advocates as a threat. And there's a lot to understand and unpack there, and a lot for us to realize about the nature of the police and their relationship to these right-wing movements. Anyway, I also think it's important, and we don't talk about this a ton on the episode, I think it's important that we realize that white supremacists, neo-Nazis, bro-Nazis, U.S. right-wing supremacists, they're going to be using this as a recruiting tool. And this is going to embolden them, and this is going to bolster their numbers. And it's very important that we understand the nature of these movements a little bit better than we have. Combating right-wing extremists, combating neo-Nazis, anti-fascist work is very different than other left-wing organizing. Folks out there who are starting to dock some of these right-wing extremists, are starting to see them around, are starting to see them at shows. I'm glad you're doxing them. I'm glad you're exposing them. I'm glad you're combating them. But you need to understand, this is not traditional left-wing organizing. It's got to be done differently. You've got to be careful. We don't talk about this a lot on the episode. We should be doing more discussion on this in the near future. Just want to say, they are going to use this moment as a recruiting tool. There's going to be a lot more neo-Nazi and white supremacists out there. They're going to be emboldened. They're going to feel like they aren't going to be attacked by police, and the police are their friends. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But be careful in how you interact with those folks. Proceed with caution and make sure you have an exit plan every time you're going to be dealing with them. There's a lot more to be said there, but that's not the goal of this podcast today. Today, I really just wanted to be focused on our initial reactions to what happened at the Capitol. Jahal Winter from Winter Wolf is going to be helping us do that. Podcast in the very near future, we're going to be getting into more some of these aspects that are a little more complicated because there's a lot more to be done. So we're going to listen to some tunes, and then we're going to have this great discussion with Jahal Winter about what happened at the Capitol. Get down. I'm going to start this podcast off with a tune that Jahal wanted me to play. This is a tune from The Clash. It's called White Riot. Seemed like a pretty on-point tune to be playing today. So here's White Riot by The Clash. Get down.
I'm gonna ride, 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 I'm gonna ride.
What's up?
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. Amazing.
That's not good. You're not good. You're surrounded by chickens. You're fucking miserable right now.
Actually, this is a unique experience. I've never been on a podcast with live chickens, so this is new.
Here in the quarantine dispatcher studio, we're forced to share a studio with some wild chickens.
You hear them?
Yeah, you can hear them in the background throughout the podcast. They are not pleased with us and our lack of giving them food.
Yeah, they need food.
They are not happy. Anyway, what's going on? How you been?
Good, man. Just scratching and surviving like everybody else, no quarantine. You know, worried about people getting sick. So I'm trying to do my best to do my part.
Yeah. Yeah.
To protect my parents, you know, my family. You know, I've had a couple family members catch COVID and.
Oh, really?
A couple have died. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm just trying to do my best.
Jeez.
To protect the older folks in my family because that's who's the most vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's watch out for them. How are you, though?
I'm doing terrible as well. I mean, I don't have any family still alive in the first place to have died during COVID, but God, we've had lost so many friends throughout this process. It's been really brutal. Things are terrible. Things are just, I mean, it's pretty fucking awful. But, you know, now we have right-wing nut jobs invading the Capitol.
I don't even know
the right term to use for this. Like, I hear the mainstream media saying, like, the right-wing insurrection. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What words do you choose to use for this, like, Capitol offense? What do you think the best thing to do is?
I was thinking terrorist, but I don't think that's accurate description. Insurrectionist seems to be the one that's most on tap, honestly.
Yeah, insurrectionist, you know, it's tough for me because I just feel like insurrectionists are always people I want to be friends with. Like, I want to be friends. Like, an insurrectionist that's a homie, dude.
You're a fellow punching. Yeah, you're like,
yeah.
You want your friend to be insurrectionist, like you know, burn down the Capitol, but I don't know.
No, you're right.
It's just confusing time.
It is super confusing to deal with this shit. I'm calling rioters. Like, I feel like rioters on two sides, like, it demeans them because they're trying to put themselves off as this, like, militia.
Yeah.
When they did they have guns? I don't know if they went in with guns.
No, they did have guns.
They did have guns?
Yeah, they had guns and bombs and zip ties.
I saw them going in. So they were cops, basically. So basically.
Or just LARPing, like role-playing cops. That's what they do. Yeah.
LARPing.
They got a whole LARP army over there.
That's pretty funny. All right, so these LARPing pigs, these rioters, these insurrectionists, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, I mean, this is a whole new dimension of our twisted little fucking time that we're living in.
Imagine if they were better trained and all had a better plan. They could have just walked in the Capitol and took hostages.
Yeah.
Took hostages.
Well, they just, you know, we're recording this podcast. I'm not sure when people are listening to this, but we're recording this podcast on the 15th of January. And they just said today that they believe that people were going in there to kidnap and execute lawmakers.
Yeah,
that's what the like FBI. I think they just came out and said.
But they said it themselves. They were announcing these things themselves.
Yeah. Oh, did they say it? Yeah. Oh, shit.
They've been talking about this. This was planned, bro. This is This was thought ahead of time. People who did the planning, you know, stepped away from the process so they can't be implicated. But this was definitely a planned riot.
Okay, let's step back. Let's reel it back in, all right?
Oh, so, true.
Okay, so when you saw this all happening like a week ago or whatever, whenever it started happening, the Capitol riot that Trump spurred or whatnot, what was your first reaction to that? Like, what did you think when you were watching it? You can be honest. No,
because I watched the speeches before the riot happened, and I was like, yo, these guys are like, it wasn't too awful what they're saying, but that day in particular, they're like, yo, these guys are like amping up or something, like they're building to something. I don't know what, but it just felt weird. And then Trump's like, you're gonna march around the street and I'll be right with you. I was like, what is this motherfucker saying? What is he saying right now? What is he saying? Is he saying like go riot at the Capitol? And then the whole security issue of like there's what, 100 officers there, less than that, and you have a riot, not a riot, but a protest down the street, a rally down the street, and no one thinks like they're not gonna walk down the street.
Suspicious.
Yeah, very suspicious. Very, very weird. Who knew you could just walk right in the Capitol? Like,
we could.
Russia must be laughing right now. We could have walked right in the whole time.
Yeah,
the whole fucking time.
I'm not sure Russia could. They probably would get a day pass from Trump. But I don't think we could. I mean, when there were Black Lives Matter protests,
Definitely not. They had people lined up on the stairs.
They had the fucking National Guard there, standing in fucking full uniform with machine guns, like prepared for the fucking most massive insurrection of all time.
And the thing I remember about the Black Lives Matter rally that police were provoking violence, you know, at the same time. They were grabbing people, beating up people, and people were getting angry. People were getting angry because of the police brutality that they were protesting was happening right in front of them. And and I can see why people would want to riot after that, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, it's pushed into it.
You mean like why this is the complication. I feel like a lot of people out there who are listening in are also dealing with this, and maybe family members who are dealing with this, but the equivocating of like our protesting and our rioting with their protesting and their rioting. And I feel like since it already came up, we should just like get into that right here and back to the reflections of the thing, because I don't see any common ground. Like, okay, so maybe some of the means are the same. Like I want to use violence and they want to use violence. I want to riot, they want to riot. Beyond that, like, the desire for these two groups couldn't be more opposed to each other.
Right, right.
Like, we want to riot to destroy white supremacy.
Yeah.
They want to riot to encourage, spur.
Right, to conserve it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly, to save it, yeah. But do you think that there's a lot of people who are seeing these as, like, analogous things? Or, like, am I crazy just looking at this being, like, saying...
As an outsider looking in, violence is violence, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, violence is violence. As an outsider, who would I side with? Would I side with, you know, the leftists, or I side with, you know, people on the right? Sorry about that. New York is wild.
It's a low one, yeah.
It's a low one today. But as an outsider, I wouldn't know what side to pick, you know?
You think so?
You know, then you see Nazism on the other side, and you're like, nah, I can't get down with that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I can get down with Black people mattering, lives matter. I can get down with that, but I don't know if I can get down with the Nazism.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Nazis, and there's a bunch of people who are opposing Nazis and calling themselves anti-fascist as opposed to fascist or anti-fascist.
Should be anti-fascist, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that should be the default option.
But even so, I don't mean to be a dick, but that's just what I am. You're saying, like... You know, I don't understand how there could even be people who are saying, like, violence is violence. Like, no one has a problem. There's violence. Like, there's violence everywhere. Mm-hmm. The U.S. goes to war.
True.
They're using violence.
True.
I've heard a bunch of these fucking state people talking about how violence can never solve a problem. Like, what the fuck do you think that billions and billions of dollars of U.S. military aid is for?
Right. Pacifism? Or how do you think America got here? You
know? Like, exactly.
Yeah, we got here through supreme violence. Like, we got to this point.
Like, we... No longer
being
can
better
we say
at it than anybody else.
Exactly. No longer can we sit here and be like, "Yeah, we mean violence is bad." Nobody operates that way.
No, no.
So it's like, so then it's like, okay, well, which violence are we okay with? Are we okay with the police using violence to brutally enforce unjust laws? Are we okay with protesters using violence to try to challenge those violent police? Mm. Like, there's really no in between.
Yeah, there's no middle ground, right?
You know, and I just feel like I'm already losing an argument when I. We're losing ground when we just say, oh, God, the violence conversation is just a tough one.
It is tough. It is tough. Because violence doesn't solve all problems.
It solves some of them.
It solves some problems, but it also creates more problems at the same time, you know? So maybe, you know, King had a point. Maybe Dr. King had a point, you know? Violence begets more violence. Mm. And maybe us going through this peacefully is probably the best way out.
Mm. That's a good point. It does definitely develop new problems. All right, let's go back to we're not going to solve that discussion
today.
No,
never.
and we're going to get I hope to get to more discussion about the police and maybe a little bit more of the violent stuff at the end of the podcast. We're going to come back to that. But let's just talk about what the shit we saw and some of the shit we've heard since then.
Yeah.
So like when you saw these rioters, these white supremacists. I mean, were you conscious when you were watching this stuff a week ago or whatnot? The chickens have invaded us.
Chickens have invaded the table. No, no.
Good, good. Yep, nice. Well played, sir. Well played. Well played.
What I was thinking is, what I was looking for, the first thing, I was looking for black people in the crowd. And I was looking for for brown people. I was like, how many brown people are supporting this? And I looked at, and there were brown people. I was like, okay. They have like their own segment of brown people, which was scary too. Like, you know, like
there wasn't a lot.
I don't know if they're wrong, but
I don't mean there wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a lot.
I was looking
their policies directly affect you. You know. So I guess they don't have a different perspective on it. So I guess we're not monolithic.
Yeah. What did you think these people were when you saw them in the Capitol? Like, obviously you knew they were Trump supporters. Obviously you knew they were right wingers. But like, were you thinking like, oh, these are white supremacists? Like, oh, these are libertarians? Or oh, these are like, you know,
what I've seen from the Trump crowd, that there are white supremacists among them.
Yeah.
Not everybody's like that. You know, not a monolith. But there are a dangerous factor, like factions within the Trump supporters. I knew that, but I can't get down on that side because they're against me.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah, I can't get down with them.
I mean, you know, there's been some interesting coverage of this stuff. I want to tell people in case you want to go more in depth, I heard a decent mainstream podcast the other day. It's called the 538 Podcast. Usually they're doing like more horse race political coverage, but they did a decent episode about this the other day with Kylie Rogers and Hakeem Jefferson. It was Monday. I don't know. I think it was January 14th. I'm not exactly sure what the date was, but it was entitled "What Led to the Attack on the Capitol." What led to the attack on the Capitol? People should check that out if they want to listen to some more interesting coverage on how to look at these protests. But, you know, I think it's even just like figuring out who they are. Like, to me, they're clearly white supremacists, if not consciously, unconsciously. Like, they're, right. You know, these people are extremely right-wing, conservative. You know, maybe not a monolith, but they're definitely like pro, not explicitly fascist, but, you know, like pro old school America, pro racist America. I mean, they're explicitly racist, right?
Right.
Like, if they're not Nazis, if they're not fascists, if they're not white supremacists, they're like explicitly
it's
racist.
It's a thin line. And if you cross it, like racism, like there's no bold line of like neutral area for it. It's either white or black. And you're on one side of the issue or not. And if you're like shading to the racism, then to me, like, you're racist. Simple. Like, I keep it simple like that.
I had a conversation with someone in my family who I think is a pretty bright and decent leftist. And I called him a racist. And they're like, you think I'm a racist? I'm like, look, anybody who isn't actively combating racism is explicitly a racist.
Yeah, whether you know it or not, you're assisting it. If you're not fighting it, you're kind of assisting. You are assisting it.
Yeah.
You're staying silent. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, staying silent assists bullies in general.
If you see that racism exists and you're not opposing it, then you're allowing it. And so you're not anti-racist, so you're racist. And same thing, you know, these right-wing folks, I think they're all racist. I think that's easy to say, but they wouldn't say that they are. They would say that they're white people standing up for other white people, right? God, it's uncomfortable even fucking to say it, honestly.
I think it's something we're going to have to become more comfortable talking about in America because we have an issue. We have to work it out. It's something we all have to become conscious about and work our way through.
Yeah.
So opening up dialogue about these things is very, very important, even if it makes you uncomfortable.
Sure, but how do we talk to these?
I don't know.
Unconscious racists. These are unconsciously and like explicitly racist people who advocate for whites. Even here, we're trying to keep chickens off us. Now you've engaged them, and now they're fucking
they're all about it, all about the bread.
How do we talk to these people who are unconscious about it, but at the same time so fervent about it, right? Like, they're unaware of their own ideas.
Yeah.
They aren't even reflecting on their own shit.
I don't honestly have an answer. I don't know how to, like, if you want to educate a racist or deprogram. Deprogram is probably a better word for it. A racist.
Interesting. Deprogram.
The only steps I know how to do that is through, you know, actively engaging these people with love. That's the only way I've worked through it in my life, you know. But these people are so militant against you, have their walls up, that it's hard to breach, you know. Hard to breach these walls.
And they maybe have never even interacted with a person of a different color than them. And they have never... And they feel, and fundamentally, what are we talking about? We're talking about these demographic changes that are happening in America. Mm-hmm. And they feel like, you know, if folks remember back to Charlottesville, like the introduction to a lot of the mainstream to fascism was Charlottesville 4 years ago when mm-hmm. Trump first came to power. One of the things they were chanting is, "You will not replace us," right? Like they are talking about how people of color are replacing white people. And they're afraid of it, and they're intimidated by it, and they're overwhelmed by it. And they think that people of color are actively like challenging their future, and they think that their freedom to be white as opposed to their privilege or whatever is at stake here. So like mm-hmm. how do we love someone who's so fundamentally opposed to diversity? Because I want to kill him. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not advocating for murder. I don't like to advocate violence.
I'll go ahead and say it myself. Yeah, I'm Joey Steele, and I'm taking the incorrect position.
Hey, that's your opinion. You can have your opinion. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can do we wait for them to die? Like, yeah. Do you put them through education camps? Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible.
What are you talking about? We went through education camps. It was called school. It was fucking terrible. And it was totally, totally biased and totally backwards and totally not productive to helping us get past like oppressive chains. Mm-hmm. And we went through and we were fine. Like, put these motherfuckers through some education camps. Make these motherfuckers go to school.
I don't know if I can get down with that either.
Yeah, I know. I'm wrong. If you don't say it though, people are going to keep listening to me. So you got to fucking come correct at them.
But the only way I know how to reach these people is through patience and love. And once they realize your humanity, the walls seem to come down. That you're the same as this person. You breathe and bleed as well, and your needs are the same as their needs. And once you realize like another person is human and the same as you, I can't hate somebody anymore, you know? And that's how what I find works in my life.
You're such a deeply better person than me.
I'm not.
these right-wing folks, they love cops and they love white people. And here they go, they killed a white cop at this fucking shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if they can't find common ground with that pig, who, by the way, again, not speaking for Jahelia, but I most certainly don't want cops to keep living, so you could take that how it is. But, I mean, they're killing people on their side mm-hmm. because they're threatened by them. Like, how do we, you know, anyway, I don't need to belabor it. Like, when you saw this 4 years ago, when you saw Charlottesville 4 years ago, when you saw Trump coming into power, like, did you think that this is where it was headed? Like, we would have white supremacists and their ilk or their kind, storming the Capitol building? Like, did you think it was going to head there? Did it have to go there?
I had a prediction with my friend that the Trump presidency is going to end disastrously. I need my $10, by the way, Joe. And
different fucking show.
Give me my $10 and my dinner. But I had a prediction, and it came true because I don't know what he was attracting and what he was talking about seemed kind of, like, divisive. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
No,
I didn't even answer your question.
No, that's getting to it for sure. Yeah, go ahead.
But I couldn't see it ending well. I couldn't predict that the person that, you know, the president is could ever, like, you know, want to bring people together or to solve an actual issue.
Yeah.
I just had a bad feeling about it.
Well, then I'll repose a question in a different light. Like, is this ending badly? Because, you know...
Yes, this is ending disastrously.
Is it? Because, you know...
For what the vision of America, from other countries' perspectives, there's, like, horrible.
I'm totally disinterested in other countries' perspectives. All I care about on this podcast is Jahil's perspective.
Okay, okay.
Do you think this is ending badly? Like, you know, here. Yeah, I'm not even going to reframe it.
Yeah,
like,
it's ending pretty disastrously. He's impeached twice.
Okay.
The only president to be impeached twice.
Why do you think that that's bad?
I think it's good. Okay. Accountability is good.
Okay.
Accountability is
so
necessary.
Again, I feel like I'm still wondering where the disaster is. You might owe someone some $10 here at the end of this shit. Joe gave some $10 here.
You know what? It might not be a disaster. It might be what's earned and what's, you know, deserved.
Is the storming of the Capitol, you know, I know obviously the mainstream.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, but as an American, it is embarrassing.
Mm. Why?
Because you treated the some protesters one way, and you have a whole another different set of rules for a different set of protesters, you know?
So the hypocrisy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's American hypocrisy.
Yeah. But at the same time, I know I'm being like a annoying devil's advocate here, and Jahil's like 2 inches away from hitting me. We're testing that pacifism out here in a second. But, you know, at the same time, like, blatantly within a month's time span showing the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Black protesters peacefully protesting in the streets of New York and other places, D.C.
Run over by cop cars, beat up.
Fucking the president ordered them tear gassed so we could take a fucking picture in front of a church.
Yeah.
You know, we were gassed here in New York City. Yeah. Rubber bullets shot at us. Peacefully protesting, marching over a bridge. Totally peaceful. We were violently attacked. Countless people I saw strangled, beaten with batons, just standing still. And these people smashed through windows, taking arms to go kill, you know, senators and representatives, peacefully dealt with. Seeing that juxtaposition, seeing that, like, so blatantly poised against each other, is it bad or is it good? Because for me, at least it makes people be like, holy shit, we are fucking hypocrites.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's good.
But I don't
because
know.
We've
yeah.
always been.
Yeah, but that's always been like the version. That's always been the view of, you know, Black America. Like, America is extremely hypocritical on almost every standpoint where it comes from. If you're a brown person, every standpoint, like,
from
it's
day
extremely
one.
Hypocritical. Yeah, very hypocritical. So maybe it's coming back to bite us, you know, the larger portion of America to come back to bite them. But I don't know, bro.
Yeah, okay, well, let's end this section with a little bit of a bent, right? So we're not sure if it's good or bad. I see this in the next segment as sort of being together. Like, you know, Trump was taken off of Instagram. He was booted off of Facebook. He was booted off of Twitter.
Took away his platforms.
They took away all of Trump's platforms.
Deservedly so, though. Like,
well, and is it better for these right and a bunch of right wingers are also tossed off these platforms and now have to go to like Signal and even what's that fucking right wing shit? Parler is gone, right? Mm-hmm. Parler was taken away by Amazon, so you know, and they've had to go to even deeper roads and channels to have these conversations about white supremacy. Is it good or is it bad? Because on one side, this whole spectrum that's happened with Trump in the last 4 years since Charlottesville to the Capitol, you know, Jahil and I have been dealing with punk stuff for a long time. We've been dealing with anti-fascism and booting fascists out of our shows
for
a long time.
Yeah.
But no one in the mainstream knew what a fucking anti-fascist was or what a fucking neo-Nazi was.
But that's not in their lives, though. That's not like a common.
It was, but they didn't realize it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
you're right.
Their fucking cousin has been on 4chan for fucking 10 years organizing some right wing shit. And the Klan has always been running shit in this motherfucker.
That's true.
You know, and cops, you know, all this information about all these cops and all these firemen, these fire pigs, as I call them. Sorry. Sorry to offend all you fucking fire pigs out there. But all this information has come out about how all these folks were involved in protesting this Capitol shit. So, like, you say to me it wasn't involved in their lives, but I say they just refused to look at it. Now it's in their fucking face.
Right.
So is it good or bad that Trump and these fucking right-wing pieces of shit are being pushed off these platforms?
Honestly, I don't... If you speak about, you know... I'm pro freedom of speech always, but if you violate, you know, a term of service, a contract is a contract. But you like,
no.
Do they need a platform?
Yeah.
Do they need a platform, though?
Yeah.
I don't know. We know how violent, you know, racial supremacy has been, you know, for the world. Like, so do these people really need another platform? But I also I'm into challenge my own ideas about, you know, my own philosophies. So I do tune in to white supremacists from time to time, but I don't agree with them.
Yeah.
But I agree with their right to say what they want to say. Sure. You can say what you want to say, but it doesn't mean I agree with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really well put sentiment because, you know, this is something that we've been chickens here. These chickens are fucking really getting in our face today. I feel like these
such a punk podcast.
Chickens might be.
You got chickens on this podcast.
These chickens might be.
They're making my day.
They might be in cahoots with these fucking whites. I feel like they're trying to fucking stop us. I'm a little bit suspicious of their fucking interests here.
Storm chicken.
Yeah, dude. You know, I think that you're really getting to, you know, I'm sorry we were interrupted by the chickens, but I really feel like you're getting to the root of it, how difficult this is, right?
It's very difficult.
If we are for, you know, in the punk scene, we've spent a lot of energy in the last 20, 30, 40 years shutting down right-wing shows.
Yeah, and racism, yeah, in general.
And there's been a lot of disagreement on what to do, but we always just shut down these right-wing shows. Maybe it would have been better if we showcased that these shows happened and mobilized people against it. But we didn't think people cared. You know?
I mean, just people at the show, you know?
Yeah. Or us, wanting to fight them.
Yeah, the people who care about it, yeah.
And so I think one thing to realize in all this, and I know it, all these questions are really difficult to deal with, especially with screaming chickens in the background, but I think one thing that's important to think about in all this is how many people have become more conscious through this, and sadly on both sides, but especially on our side, mm-hmm. and it's because people do want to combat racism. They do want to combat white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the punk scene, for a long time, we didn't appreciate that. Like, we didn't see that anybody else but us gave a fuck about stopping these right-wing pieces of shit.
Yeah, true, true. Right.
And I feel like today, 4 years into Trump, we know better that there are people in the mainstream that don't want to tolerate this extreme right-wing shit. And they, look, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, they didn't kick Trump off because they thought it was the right thing to do.
No, he kicked him because he's hurting profits.
Because it was hurting profits.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, fuck you for that, people, but we can work with that, you know? Like, okay, now we know that you care about that.
No, we know you care about profit. We know.
But on the flip, but the other side of that is we know that there are so many people who are upset about this that their profits could be hurt.
Right, right, right.
You know, so, like, we're not alone in wanting to end these right-wing things.
Well, I'm glad to see people are more flexible to the idea of, you know, of equality, and it's not all bad, you know? We can share things, you know, we can live together, and we can make it work, but we just have to have understanding and patience with one another. And I think we've maybe lost our patience, you know? Because so many things have happened, so many brutal things have happened in all our communities, in brown communities, that, like, they're losing our patience. We're losing our patience. But we're still peaceful about it.
Okay. There's
but the right wing at the same time, like, I try to look at their viewpoints, and they think they're losing. I don't understand what they're losing or what they feel like they're losing. I'm trying to, but
well,
in my book,
share.
Yeah, in my book, I think you're winning. Yeah, you've been winning.
Well, let's be
last,
careful
like,
here.
The last 3 years.
Hill, I'm not on their side.
I'm not on their side either.
Yeah,
but,
you say you're winning here. I'm not with these motherfuckers. But
I mean, you're not getting killed by cops. You're not getting chased down in the streets. You're like, you know, you can live your life.
Yeah.
Like, that's winning to me.
Yeah. Well, I think if white people are doing the right thing, they're getting chased by cops. You know, if they're on the right side of history, if they're putting their bodies in the way of the organs of oppression, they should see that their interests don't lie with the cops, and they would be being chased down by those pigs.
Right.
And I think that's important for punks out there to realize, you know, if you don't put your bodies on the line, ultimately your futures do wind up with these white supremacists. So it is in your actions and not in your identity as white people that you can distinguish yourself from these fucking backward fucks.
Oh, absolutely.
And without that, you are lumped in with them. So I think that there is a point there.
Yeah, silence is compliance.
Yeah.
I got to say. especially when it comes to racism. Silence is compliance.
Yeah. But they don't want to share.
No, that's the whole point of the fight is they don't want to share.
Yeah.
They don't want to be equal, you know?
They don't want to be equal.
They don't want to be equal.
Exactly. Exactly. How do we... Yeah, all right, let's take a break. Let's listen to a tune, and we're going to come back and figure out what to practically do in our daily lives to deal with the fact that the other side does not want to be equal. Is there a tune that you want to listen to at all that you can think of?
Yeah, let's throw on Welfare, My Offer.
Get down.
Oh,
So at the end of the last segment, you were talking about equality and the fact that the right wing, the rioters, the white supremacists, the Trumpophiles, whatever you want to call them, they don't want to be equal, right? They want more than equality. They don't want freedom. They use the word freedom all the time. They want to be free to do whatever they want. They don't want to be canceled. They keep saying cancel culture is trying to cancel them. But I feel like we're all using the wrong terms. I feel like when they say freedom, we just need to insert the word privilege, right? Because freedom and privilege are not the same thing.
No.
Right? The Black Lives Matter movement wants equality. This is a movement that wants justice. The white supremacists think that that's attacking their whiteness. Maybe. But that's because white people...
Maybe call it into question.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Race, this calls into the whole argument of race in general. I think race is dumb. I think we're all human on this planet, and we're all fucking related from the same source. Like, race is a dumb argument to me. It makes no sense. We are differently culturally, you know, but, like, race... You can take my kidney. If you have the same blood type, you can use my kidney,
yeah.
You know? Right? Are we not human?
That was very nice of you.
Are we not? Yeah. Anytime. Yeah. I got two of them, baby. Anytime.
Right. But this is, it gets convoluted a little bit because race exists. People have been treated differently because of their racial backgrounds. It is a factor in reality. And in order to deal with reality, we have to deal with the fact that people have been racially prejudiced against.
Right.
And so... It's not that Black Lives Matter wants to attack people for the whiteness, but it recognizes the fact that white people have been treated better
than different black justice people. System. A different justice system. Completely.
But they've been treated better, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not wrong for us to say this. White people have been given more privilege. Not more freedom, more fucking privilege in the justice system.
Yeah.
And in order to rectify that, in order to live a just life, we have to. And that's going to feel like we're infringing upon these idiots' freedoms. It's not that we are. It's not that people want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that in order to bring things back to justice, it's going to feel like that for people who have been excessively privileged. Am I terming this unjustly?
No,
because
no,
it's not my movement to be making these things, to be saying what these things are. It's just how it...
I think people who haven't, you know, felt oppression... Well, I don't know. Everybody's oppressed. You know, this is... We got a very convoluted society. So, like, maybe because they know other people are oppressed, they're afraid of it coming back to them. That's what I feel, too. I'll be afraid of it come back of, like, you know, the sins of slavery. Like, you know, that's fucked up. You know, millions of people in bondage. You know that's fucked up. Are you afraid that that's coming back to you? Is that your thought process?
Are you talking to me?
Not you, but like...
Yeah, well, the pronouns are getting confusing because who are they and who am I? Like, you know, right. It is confusing. So, like, let's try to be more exact. Like, these right. white people are afraid...
That's too general, too. It's like...
Okay.
That's too general, too.
All right, so what are they? Who are we talking about? Because we have to be able to talk about these things.
Racist. Let's talk about racist.
Okay, the racist.
Yeah.
Conscious or unconscious, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Racist.
Right.
So racists are afraid explicitly or... You know, whatever, that the sins of slavery are coming back for them. That's what they're afraid of.
Is that the thought process? I'm curious. Like, what motivates you to feel this way? You know?
Yeah.
What can motivate me to hate someone I never met before?
I think it's their... like you said, we're generalizing some of these things. But I think from the rhetoric that they have been partaking in and... since Charlottesville and, mm-hmm. you know, and recently, I think they're afraid of being canceled. And I use that term not quite in the way that they're using it in cancel culture because everyone's talking about this now.
Yeah.
They're using it in terms of like, they're using it in terms of like being replaced, being deleted, being replaced by non-white people.
Uh-huh.
I think that's funny. I think, you know, it's hard for us to sit here because we're coming from a very different place.
Yeah.
So we're trying to like talk about what these fucking... idealists who we don't identify with, you know, what they think is hard for us, you know.
Because you have to, I don't like calling people my enemy. Sun Tzu says to know your enemy, right?
Know your enemy, know yourself.
Know yourself, exactly. So if I can figure out the motivations, maybe we can, you know, find a way forward.
I do. I think we need to look at this stuff. And I think that the mainstream has been like super wrong in interpreting what's happening here. Like,
yeah, I think they're way off base.
Go ahead.
They don't perceive it as a danger unless it's in their face, blowing them up, you know? If it's not affecting their bottom line, it's not on their agenda.
God, I mean, you know, there's been so much discussion in the last week about how this is an attack on democracy. But these motherfucking cowards in Congress have seen this shit coming for so long.
Riling it up. Like,
they've seen Charlottesville. They saw black people being attacked. They saw white supremacists marching through the streets.
Yeah.
They saw white cops murdering black people.
In Nashville.
How many white supremacists have been setting up bombs in the United States?
A lot.
I mean, we've seen dozens of them.
Yeah.
Far more than any other group attacking other people. But it isn't until these motherfuckers are attacked in their own house that they're willing to go and say, you know what, we need to kick Trump out of office. I heard one of the speeches from one of the Democrats on the Hill talking about in the impeachment of Trump, the second impeachment of Trump, I got to be more specific, talking about how now there's a principle at stake. Wait a second, motherfucker. You mean it wasn't a principle
before
at stake?
That? Yeah, yeah.
Before, because you weren't involved in
right.
it? Fuck you.
Wasn't your life being affected? Like,
I think that that's so important to think about. Like, the discussion of... My stomach turns a little bit when people talk about how this is an attack on democracy. This is not an attack on democracy. This is an attack that white supremacists have engaged against people of color. And it's been happening for a long fucking time. And it's not about democracy per se, although maybe some of that's involved. But it's about black people and brown people being attacked in this country. Fucking say it. Say it, motherfucker.
Yeah, say what you mean.
Why just can't they fucking say it?
They never say what they mean.
Attack on democracy. What the fuck does that... I'm sorry, I got...
But democracies, the histories of democracies all over the world, democracies are like one of the most fragile forms of government. All it takes is one group of people to overthrow it and fuck it all up for everybody else. So we'll see what happens coming forward. I've been hearing people talking about, is there a civil war coming? Is there a civil war coming in the next 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't think so, honestly. Where are the sides drawn up, you know?
Well, let's play it out, right? So, like, if these people, if the issue really is, like, they think that they're being attacked and they're being replaced and they're afraid of demographic changes of the United States, that the white people are going to be in the minority in the relatively near future in the United States, then how does that play out other than violence? Because if they believe in democracy and those demographic changes stay in, like, there's no question about it that white people will no longer be in charge.
Mm.
Right. So either they can't believe in democracy anymore, which is why the white media and white institutions and capitalists are all talking about this in terms of democracy so they can make it sound palatable to their
base,
white folks listening in. But it's either an attack on democracy because democracy isn't going to represent them anymore, the white people, or it's an attack against black and brown people, which is what it really is.
Mm.
But I don't see, is there any other way that this ends other than a civil war? I mean, first of all, has there been a civil war already happening where black and brown people have been attacked by white supremacist institutions that we just call the police and that occupy every major city where black and brown people live? I mean, it's debatable.
It's just highly debatable.
Yeah.
It's highly debatable. I mean, there's definitely an argument there.
Well, let's go to this place, all right? Okay. So we're not sure about civil war. I think that some of that, you're probably right.
I just don't see how the sides would be drawn up. It would be like urban versus rural, folks. And how do you divide that up, So if anything, I see like an insurgency of bombings. What's what happened in Afghanistan and Iraq with Al-Qaeda? Like how they kept control with fear and rhetoric and religion. I see that happening more than an out-and-out, war of sorts. A traditional war.
Yeah.
So I see an insurgency happening.
Yeah, like an intimidation strategy.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. That's an interesting and disturbing picture to think about, but I think it's really well put, really articulated well. But, like, here we are, 2021. We have these rioters or this insurrectionist taking over the Capitol. The media is talking about one particular element of it, missing a whole lot of other elements. But, like, what do we do right now, right? Because I feel like us and the punk scene, people who are anti-fascist, people who are concerned about these issues, like, we're torn a little bit, right? Like, what do we put our efforts into? Do we put our efforts into combating fascists and right-wing extremists, or do we put our efforts into fighting the cops and police brutality and police murder and injustice that has been systematically horrible injustices that have been systematically imposed on black people in this country? I feel like a lot of our community in the very near future is going to be like deciding which of those issues they need to get behind and spend their life working on. Right. What do you think we should talk to people about or talk about in thinking about those two like fronts to fight on?
I think it's a united front. These issues might be the same issue, you know? These issues might be all related to the same problem. To supremacy of all types. Supremacy of all types, you know? Financial supremacy or racial supremacy. So we got to find a way to tackle our equality issues in a non-destructive way. But I don't know how to clear that path, how to make that path. So we got to find a way forward.
What an interesting way to put it. I haven't heard anyone put it quite that way. Like, these are issues of supremacy in general, one group dominating another.
Right. But that's the way humans, operate at the same time. So do we have to change humanity? Do we have to evolve? You know, do we have to become something better, something different?
Well, I definitely don't think that there is a humanity because, you know... Like, yeah, that's funny on one side. But, Cop Out, we have this song. Cop Out is a band that I'm in. One of the songs we have is called Iron Leaves, and it's a song about how I think the idea that human nature is an argument that people use. It's like the last argument people use to, like, justify horrible oppression. Like,
yeah.
You know, you saw people justify this slavery or extreme misogyny by saying, oh, you know, it's just part of human nature, you know, for one group to dominate the other. And I think that you're right. We have changed humanity so many times.
Yeah.
We've evolved so many times. Society has evolved so many times. It's possible.
It's possible.
And I think the way you put it is a really good way. And I sort of see like a consistency in your logic too in talking about these things. Like you talk about equality, you talk about ending supremacy, you talk about, and in some ways it like reflects, I hate to use this term because I was negative about it before, but like a real democracy, like truly genuinely listening to all people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ending supremacy. I thought that was really articulate.
Oh, thank you. It's a branch in our path to perfection, you know, as a species. It's one of them. It's one of many.
Yeah.
The question is how to tackle it.
And maybe some of it is, like, in the Capitol situation... There were a lot of police involved in the riot.
Yeah.
And police opened the gates and let the rioters in.
So weird. So strange.
So strange.
You have senators and congressmen in there, and he's going to let them in? So strange. I can't wait until they do an investigation. You're going to find out. We're going to find a whole lot.
Maybe. You know, I'm not conspiratorial, but, you know, if the cops are doing an investigation of themselves...
Yeah, you can't trust that
either. You ain't got to be too conspiratorial to be like, maybe they'll let a couple of their pigs off. So luckily those idiots shot a lot of the videos themselves and...
Right? Who records themselves doing
stupid...
Like, doing a crime.
Listen, those motherfuckers should have been paying more attention to us riding back in the day.
Seriously,
because
like, you would mask up.
Wear a fucking mask, you dumb up. Piece of shit, cracker fucking morons.
Mask up.
Put up, you know, like...
If you're going to steal the podium, mask up. If you're going to do that shit... Yo, I heard it took pisses and shits in offices, in hallways, on desks. That's fucking amazing.
Only white supremacists would break into one of the most beautiful buildings on earth and be like, you know what? I'm going to shit on this fucking desk.
Just take a shit right here.
Hey, Billy Bob, I'm going to shit on this desk. Watch me right now, you fucking dumbasses. Oh, God. I bet you there. You know what? I bet you they were also like searching for QAnon, like conspiracies in the files. Like,
I bet. Going through people's mail and shit. Going through their files. Looking for Area 51 shit.
I'm so glad that I didn't go to D.C. to like report on any of this stuff because I would have loved to have followed them in and just watched them trying to look up QAnon in the file system.
Q?
You fucking dumb.
How do you spell non?
You know.
N-A-A-N.
You know, I think that this is all... It is in some ways, it's really hard not to laugh at this stuff, but
it's insanely funny. At
it's
the same,
hilarious.
It's sad, funny, and scary all at the same time.
Totally.
All at the same time.
But I do think a lot of folks out there you know, they don't have a ton of time. They're all working, or hopefully,
you gotta pay your bills.
Gotta pay the bills, and they're thinking like, do I spend my time organizing against police, systematic police injustices,
or do I go to work,
or do I go to work, or do I like try to dox some of these fucking white supremacists? Like, they're being torn on which direction. And I think you're right. Like, people have to figure out and see and sit and reflect and see how these issues are all one issue. And I think that starts with acknowledging that white supremacists are involved on both sides of this. The police are a white supremacist organization enforcing racist laws.
Some of those who work forces.
Exactly. We're not going to play Rage Against the Machine on here because it might still get sued, but...
You might still get sued.
It's a quote.
Okay. No. But I'd like to play the song, too. Yeah.
Oh, he was right. He was right on that.
He was. Well, I think that there's a lot of stuff to think about on this episode. Is there something you want to reflect on before we go? Is there something else you want to say about Trump or about where things are headed or what people are doing?
I just want us to figure out a way forward together, because that's the only way it's going to go forward. We can't go forward apart. We got to figure out how to work this out together. And America needs some deep fucking therapy, I got to say. We need a therapist. Everybody should have a hotline to a therapist, honestly, in America.
That's a good point.
We need some deep therapy for our traumas. We have to deal with these traumas somehow. And it begins, honestly, with talking about it. So the more we talk about it, the more knowledge we can learn from each other and more perspectives we can gain. And hopefully that can end racism and supremacy, because we learn about each other, you know? We're empathetic to each other. But then again, not all people are like that. So it's tough. It's tough.
Is there any relationships in your personal life that you feel like this is challenged? Like, do you have these conversations with anybody?
Like, the people I want to have these conversations with, you know, like family, who are Trump supporters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, like, I don't know how to broach the topic, because they don't want to. They're not going to try to listen to anything I say, you know? So we just avoid it.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't think that's the answer either.
Well, I think, you know, for someone who's so clear on this, and they, you know, you're really articulate in talking about seeing seeing their side of things, and you're really cautious, excuse me, and careful with your words. I feel like you're very, careful to say what you mean without insulting what you see as the other side.
Right.
I appreciate that.
I don't feel like insulting them is getting my point across. You're not going to listen to what I say if I'm insulting you, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to listen to anything I say.
Oh, well, I mean, I think they do. I think they're just going to be insulted while they do it. But
That's okay.
But I think it would be worthwhile if you did something to, like, engage those folks and talk about these things. You know, I know you've been interested in doing a podcast, too. Mm-hmm. And I think this would be worthwhile... idea of, like, centering around disagreement.
Yeah. Because it's totally human to disagree. We all disagree. It's just how we handle that disagreement. Do we use violence? Or do we figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe if you have those conversations and either you put it on your own podcast and we could put it on Dispatches, that'd be great.
Hell yeah.
Or if you have those conversations and would love to have you come back and talk about those.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people out there, you know, we're not sure how to talk to family members who so deeply disagree. I got family members who are Trump supporters. We don't talk about it for the most part, but I have tried to engage them and been shut down recently. Only recently.
Mm-hmm.
Only around COVID in the quarantine was I actually, like, deeply shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, people were like, oh, Joey, you're crazy communist, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
People call you a communist?
I am a communist, so I don't have a problem with that. But, like... you know, they think I'm crazy. I don't particularly enjoy that part of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I try to talk to people, and it wasn't until I feel like the chasm is getting bigger.
Yeah. The gap is getting wider.
You know, how do we talk to people we fundamentally disagree with?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
But I think these challenges help you grow.
Yeah.
It can ultimately help humanity grow. Like, embracing each other, finding our differences, you know?
I don't think it's that difficult for me personally. Like you said, as a communist, No one agrees with me. Like, the punk scene doesn't agree with me. No one agrees with me. Like, my deepest friends and bandmates, no one agrees with me. My wife doesn't agree. No one agrees with me. Crazy, Joey. Yeah, oh, this fucking guy.
He's so crazy.
You know, but I think embracing differences is important. But I think really seek, you know, I think, Jahiel, one of the things you're saying is, like, really seeking out the people who most deeply disagree with us, figuring out where they're coming from, mm-hmm. and how we can help them see that they don't, their interests aren't with supremacy.
Right. Cause we need each other. Yeah. Like we deeply need each other. The earth is a complex system of relationships of all types, all kinds, but we all need each other. Even you chickens.
You said that
too.
And the chickens come right in your face and you're going to push them right off the table.
We all need each other. Here. I might need a dinner one day. I'll holler at you.
Here, chicken.
Yeah. Get out of my face, bro.
Yo, we see where the supremacy ended right there, Kyle. It was either you or the chicken.
You got my face, all right? You got my face.
Well, I think you're a good person. You're a better person than me, and maybe a better person than most. And I think that we all have a lot of deep reflections to figure out exactly who we are, who we're up against, and how we're going to get along together or overcome those we fundamentally can't get along with, because that's where we're at and that's the world we're heading
into. Yeah, that is the point, too. But I don't want to see the violence anymore. It makes everything, the gap, larger. It just makes the gap larger and harder to bridge. That river between those two cities just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
The chickens are fucking
etching. And we need a bridge. We need a couple bridges.
Yeah, but the fucking cops, man. You know, like, yeah. we peacefully protested.
I know.
We peacefully protested. And they kicked the fucking shit out of us.
Yeah.
Like, after this, how do we go to the left and be like, oh, no, we got to stay peaceful? These motherfucking right wing aren't peaceful. The cops aren't peaceful.
No.
You know, so like, so we're the only chumps who keep getting fucking our asses peacefully handed to us constantly. So, you know, I appreciate your point. I'm being negative.
A big inspiration. I understand. You have your own perspective. But a big inspiration of mine is, you know, Dr. King. You're like, look how he won. He won by not raising, you know, a fist in anger.
He was shot,
yeah. But he still won.
Did he? Won. Because... Okay.
His argument won. But he had to get shot for it. And that's terrible.
But fundamentally, we still have systematic racial oppression in this country. And I appreciate so much of the struggle that he, Abernathy, and heroes of the peaceful, you know, civil rights movement participated in.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have deep-rooted racial oppression in this country. So, like... On one side, he won because he took the higher ground and he mm-hmm. was able to like to persuade the majority of white people in this country to no longer be racist, to no longer want racism.
Shit. But those images of black people getting beat up on screen helped a lot too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, television was big. And those images were like, holy shit, this is how we treat black people, you know? And he made America more reflective of itself.
You know, but I'm not trying to get too deep into a disagreement here, because I do think that Martin Luther King was a great hero in this country. But if it wasn't for the Deacons for Self-Defense, if it wasn't people like Robert F. Williams who were advocating for armed self-defense in 1954, you know, would black people have even avoided the lynchings that would have come if Martin Luther King would have first stood up without them? So, like, look, we can have a whole argument about violence and nonviolence all day and night. Martin Luther King is, no question about it, an absolute hero, and he most certainly did win the hearts and minds of a lot of racist white people to change, and that's the main point. And I should keep my mouth shut. That's the second point.
Hearts and minds, though. Hearts and minds.
Yeah.
That's, you have to win. That's where you win in battles of oppression. You got to win in the hearts and minds, because oppression is personal decisions. You're making a personal decision. You know, that judge is making a personal decision to send, you know, that kid to prison for 50 years. That, you know, the cop's making that decision to arrest that person. It's all personal decisions. So if we could win hearts and minds and make people more reflective about their actions, maybe you might change the world.
No, you're right. And you're taking the long-term approach.
It is the long con. It is the long con. It's the long play.
Yeah, you're looking at Jahiel in the long term, and winning the hearts and minds is necessary for real change. So I appreciate that perspective very deeply. Thanks for coming out here. Appreciate doing this.
No problem. It's been beautiful.
This was delightful. I'm sorry these fucking chickens keep getting in our face.
Such an experience.
They're very difficult. But
very friendly.
For folks who want to hear more about what you're doing, where can people go find out more about Winter Wolf?
Hey, Winter Wolf on all streaming platforms. Check us out. We got a music video out, Dead Body Fuck Party, on YouTube out right now. Our tag is at Winter Wolf NYC on platforms, or just Winter Wolf. Check us out. Send us a message. I always respond. And love yourself. Take care of each other. And remember, we're all in this together. Never forget that.
Get down. All right, let's listen to another tune. This is a tune from Jahal Winter and his band Winter Wolf. You can get this tune on his Bandcamp, winterwolfnyc.bandcamp.com. And the tune is called Dead Body Fuck Party. So here it is, Winter Wolf. Get down. That's the end of the episode. I want to say thanks again to Jahal Winter for coming over and doing this podcast, for braving the dangerous COVID-filled subways and braving the dangerous man-eating chickens here at the Dispatch from the Underground Studios. I appreciate all of the dangers you were willing to undertake in order to make this podcast happen. Thank you very much. I thought Jahal's perspective here was so thoughtful and so consistent and so helpful. I really appreciate it. I hope everybody out there got something out of it. I just think these times are so confusing. Everything is happening so quickly. It's important that we're engaging with perspectives that we disagree with, especially when they're coming from people we respect, especially when they're coming from the community that we love and that we're a part of, and that we listen to them and think about them and make sure that we're appreciating them because they're heartfelt and they're sincere. And while they're different than ours, that's how we are going to better understand what's happening all around us. It's just too confusing to simply rely on our own perspective. So I really appreciate it. I hope everybody out there got a lot out of it too. Thank you very much to Jahal for coming over here and sharing it. I'm sure it was difficult to get here, and I'm sure it's difficult to talk about to talk about what's happening, because it's a little bit nerve-wracking to be talking about. I know that Chahal has been interested in doing his own political punk podcast, so please pay attention to what he's doing on Winter Wolf. I'm sure he's going to be doing a podcast in the very near future. I'm sure if you go and dig them on social media, wherever you dig things on social media, you'll hear about the podcast that he's doing in the very near future. It's going to be fantastic. And we will also be sharing that on our social media accounts. So go to Dispatchers from the Underground on Facebook, or you can hit me up on Instagram at Joey Steele NYC. That's Steele like the metal, in case you didn't know. Or wherever. I mean, Dispatch from the Underground is all over the internet, so just find us on social media, pay attention to what's happening, follow us, get down with us in whatever way you get down with things. And as soon as Chahal has his own podcast coming out, we will make sure that we post it to all of the different social medias that we're involved in. If you dig what we are doing on this podcast, please continue to share it with everybody you know on social media. We have a website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. There is a merch section, so if you dig what we're doing and you dig some of the bands that we're playing on the podcast, you can go check out our merch section. There's ways for you to contribute some money and get some shit that you want, like some merch or some record. We got some good records up there. We also have a donation section on dispatchersmeunderground.com. If you dig what we're doing and feel like it's worth some money, we would really appreciate it. This podcast has always been and will always be free. We want to make sure everybody can get a hold of this perspective at all times. But if you are in a position to be donating, we would really appreciate it. There is a lot of costs involved to simply making this podcast happen. So if you appreciate what we're doing and you're willing to help us to share some of the burden of that cost, we would really appreciate it. Go to dispatchersmeunderground.com, hit the donate section, and I appreciate everybody who's been doing that, everybody who's been helping make this podcast happen. Our dear friends Lauren and G-Fresh, who are constantly involved in making this podcast what it is. Our good friends Gabe and Casey and Nikki and Ian and everybody who has been contributing to Dispatches and making this podcast be able to function. So thank you all very much. Thank you to everybody who continues to listen to Dispatch from the Underground. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like. Leave a comment on wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure you go and leave comments talking about how much you love Dispatch from the Underground, or how much you hate the host, but you still think that the conversations are really valuable. Whatever. We just appreciate anybody constantly leaving comments and letting people know that they're listening to this podcast. It helps us be noticed by other people, and it helps people know what we're talking about on this podcast. Everybody out there who is mobilizing, everybody out there who is energized and trying to organize to stop these right-wing extremists, I am very appreciative of all the work you're doing. I applaud you. I support you. I'm happy to be talking to you. You can hit me up at dftunderground@gmail.com if you have any questions or you need help hooking up with some other folks. We might know some people in the areas that you are that you can be organizing with. Please remember, when you're organizing against these far right-wing extremists, it is not organizing as usual. You need to be cautious and careful with how you organize. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it. You should be organizing. You should be doing stuff with what you understand. But you need to be cautious. You need to be careful. And you need to make sure that they don't get your identity when you're doing all of that, because it can be very dangerous. It can be very dangerous. So make sure you're cautious. Make sure you're careful. But don't let that stop you organizing. Just be thoughtful in how you do it. We're going to be hopefully doing more podcasts on that front in the very near future. But if you have any questions, hit me up on social media or email me at dftunderground@gmail.com, and we'll try to help you as much as we can. In line with that, I want to end this podcast with a tune from my band All Torn Up. This song is from a while back, I guess, actually, now thinking about it. I think 2014, we put out this our Drone Life album. This song is called No Passeron. It's on that record. The song is about when we're organizing anti-fascist spaces, when we're organizing to stop right-wing extremists, when we're organizing to stop, you know, Proud Boys, and, you know, back then the Proud Boys didn't exist yet. There was organizations like Rock Against Communism, which was sort of like Proud Boys before Proud Boys. Anyway, when we're organizing anti-fascist work, to me, it was always important to be doing that in conjunction with building up left-wing spaces, because organizing anti-fascist work is exhausting, because it's really anti something. It's really about stopping. It's really about holding a line against fucked up pieces of shit. And I just think it's really important, when we're holding that line, that we do it firmly, but we also need to be building up left-wing spaces where we can share ideas and appreciate our community, and our community can grow and foster each other. And so this song is about how we need to do both those things when we do this work, how we need to hold that line firmly and keep out these right-wing pieces of shit, but at the same time, we need to be fostering left-wing spaces and fostering heartfelt, sincere, honest community. And, you know, we did that pretty well here in New York City. I think we've done a good job with it. And things are complicated. Things are actually, you know, we need to do more of it. But, you know, COVID has stopped us from doing everything a little bit. So I guess we just need to get back into it. Anyway, that's what this song's about. This is from our band, All Torn Up. It's called No Passeron. Get down.
Fascists, stuck in empty stars, empty lies. Got a bad